your sound of worship.
Love Talk Radio.
Come on, let heaven hear your sound. Let heaven hear your sound. Oh, we glorify you. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope to restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Come on, give your blessing. You give life. You are love. Every heart has broken. Great are you, great are you, great are you, Jesus. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath, it's your breath, and our love. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise, your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, oh, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise, your breath in our lungs.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Oh,
Thank you. play here from my virtual daughter here in Africa. She's making a lot of music, and I just want to give her some play time here on Blog Talk Radio. Put one of her songs up, and we're going to play that song.
Thank you.
Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this new day that we have never seen before. Surely we will never ever see this day again. We ask you, O God, to speak through us as we yield our heart, mind, body, and soul to you this morning, God. God, we decrease this morning and we ask you to increase, O God. Lord, let there be none of me but all of you, God. Lord, show me what I need to see in this word and speak to me what I need to hear. Allow me to speak only what I should speak, O God, for your people this day. God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, surpass our mental faculties, and God, go directly to our heart, O God. Convict us from the inside that we might be healed on the outside. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. I want to talk on the same subject matter, part four of the rebellion and abomination after abomination. We have one more part the Lord told me last night. I didn't want to do another part. That's me. That's me. But the Lord says do another part. It would be the fifth part. And he said that part would be representing grace. Grace, the grace of God. So we're going to be doing a fifth part at some point in time. We're going to do a fifth part of this message. So let's go in here and see what the Lord is saying this morning, as the Lord has already blessed the atmosphere and he has blessed us with a new day. Let's go in and see. I'm glad that you people are coming on the line. We just played a song from one of my spiritual daughters. She in Nairobi. She has made a couple of CDs and they're doing well and we are so grateful. You know, she is singing in reggae and doing what the Lord has called her to do. She's lost a baby young. I think he was about 5 or 6 years old, and he got sick, some type of virus, and it killed him. So, you know, she deals with that every day. But she trusts in the Lord that she would have a husband and she would be able to bear more children. But today I want to talk to you on this subject. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians Chapter 10. Let's start over here. We're talking about the rebellion and abomination after abomination. And how many of you know that most time when people get into sin, they go sin after sin after sin. They keep doing more and more and more. Do you remember when you was in the world and you were sinning? You kept on doing more and more. You wanted to stop, but you couldn't stop because sin had a hold on you, on us. Let's say I was in that place too. And I kept doing all I wanted to stop, but I couldn't stop because sin had a vice grip. It had a monkey wrench on me. It had a pliers on me. It was squeezing me. I couldn't get out from sin. Somebody had to pray and invite me to receive Jesus as Lord, and Jesus unlocked those chains and those ropes that had me tied into sin. So he released me. But here in this text here, as I was looking at this last night, this is talking about apostasy. And here, these people became, these Israelites and Judeans and all them that were supposed to be God's people became so wicked. And you know the whole story in Numbers chapter 11 and Leviticus chapter 18. And you know the whole story about these people. They were stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and rebellious, and they were idolatrous. And so God always gives us a chance. That's why he said, do a part five, and it would be entitled Rebellion After and Abomination After Abomination. But grace saved us. That will be the next topic, part five. And he says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's start at verse 5. He says, but with many of them, talking about the Jewish people, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 14, verse 29. They were destroyed in the wilderness. Why? Because of their rebelliousness, their rejection of God's way. They want to go back to Egypt, like some of us. We get so frustrated because things are not working out for us. It seems that nothing is happening for us. We want to go back into the lifestyle that God drew us out of. I know some folks say, I was so bad, but when I found God, God was never lost. I despise when I hear people saying, when they find God, you didn't find God, God never was lost. We were lost. He found us. But the Bible says they were overthrown. He wasn't pleased with them. He says, now these things were examples, these things were our examples. In other words, they were written down or penned down for our examples that we don't have to act like Israelites. We don't have to act like our ancestors in the wilderness. We don't have to act like them. Oh, he said, well, I remember as a youngster coming up in Barbados, I said, man, my father was an alcoholic. He was a bad alcoholic. But he got up and he went to work every day. Why? Because he had accounts. He had credit at different liquor stores, different alcohol shops, you know. And he could go, when one account was over the limit, he'd go to another alcohol shop and he would get credit there. He had credit there. So all of his money would really go to the liquor store. And I had to get with him on Christmas time where they would get a big bonus from the job. But I had to look for him early because if I didn't find him early, I wasn't able to get some clothes for Christmas, you know. That's when I would get some from my dad. So I said to myself, I never want to be an alcoholic. Because I didn't want to get tricked and then act the way my father was. But I became a cocaine addict. Ain't that something? Almost took my life. But thank God for Jesus that he protected me while I was out there in that darkened place and brought me in out of darkness. He says, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they're also lusted. God said, and I put this thing in the book so that when you see this, you will see that all the things that your forefathers, your ancestors were going after is not worthy for you. It's not going to give you any pleasure, really, for eternity. It will give you pleasure for now, but in the long run, it will cause you pain. Hallelujah. How many know that when people get strung out on adultery or fornication or lying or stealing, oh, they're excited. Yes, I can go over sister so-and-so house, brother so-and-so house. We're going to drink some liquor and we're going to fornicate. We're going to commit adultery. Afterwards, you get the conviction in your spirit, man, that you have just sinned. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Even when you're in the world and you're doing these things, you still get, you get a thing, man, I don't know why I did that. I know why I did that. But because you have not been saved and you have not gotten an understanding of what Jesus done at Calvary, you find yourself going right back. Thank God for Jesus. That we don't have to keep going back into that same vomit like a dog. Keep going back to sin after sin after sin when God has already delivered us, washed us, and cleansed us from all iniquity, from all sin. I said, no. We have to understand. He said, neither be adulterers as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down and eat and drink and rose up to play. Oh, my God. Glory to God.
They're serving a living God, a sovereign God. They have the prophet of God. The prophets of God are leading them out of Egypt, bringing them to the promised land. But all they're thinking about is good times, having a good time. And like some of these preachers today, all they're thinking about is having their Rolls Royce. They want a Rolls Royce for themselves, one for their wife. They want to have a jet. And most of the people that are paying to get the jets, I want my pastor to have a jet because he can fly from here to Israel. He can go to Jerusalem. He can go to Africa, go to India, go to the Caribbean and preach the gospel. None of those people that some of them folk on food stamps, some of them people on Social Security, and they're giving their $25, all that they can give to help purchase that plane. They never even get to look in the plane to see how the fabric that the seats are made out of. But the pastors and those bishops, they're having a great time. They're having a great time and not preaching the infallible truth of God's word for the people to come out of darkness. Like I said yesterday, they're preaching a word to tickle the people's ear. And they say, oh, my pastor preaching good today. Oh, my bishop preaching good today. It's good, but they're not preaching against sin. They're not preaching against sin. Most of them, the majority of them, I can tell you this, the majority of them are not preaching. You got some good churches that are preaching against sin. Oh, my God, they're on fire against sin. Burn it up. But some of them, they pass all along it. Don't even call Jesus' name in the sanctuary. Don't even say Yeshua, Yahweh, nothing. They don't even call him Jehovah Rapha, El Shaddai, Jehovah Shabu. They don't call Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tiskanu. They don't call none of his holy names. They don't even call his name that we know him by, Jesus. They preach all around it because they're not serving the same Jesus that you're serving. They're serving Luca, their bank book. What's in the bank? He says, none of the ye Egyptians, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Never let us commit fornication. See, he's speaking against sin. S-I-N. See, all we know about is LGBTQ. That's the only one we know. There's more sin than just gay or lesbian. There's more sin than just cussing or lying or committing adultery. There's more sin than S-I-N, kind of everything. Anything. Let them know that we love them. We love them, but we have come to this place where we despise sinning. We despise it. Why? Because God has drawn us out of that darkened place. And we want to lead our people out. We want to lead our brothers and sisters out. We want to point them to Christ who will draw them out, because he does the drawing. So we have to preach against sin. He said, never let us commit fornication as some of them committed. And fell in one day 23,000. 23,000. You imagine how God is against sin? He despised sin. David said, I hate what you hate and I love what you love. Now we say, I love Jesus, but I still gotta indulge in sin because I feel good. It makes me feel good. How can you love him and dozen and stuff that he don't like, that he don't care for? He despises it. He said, never let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. How do you tempt him? You're tempting where you're supposed to be walking right to the holy, but you're dipping and diving in sin. I call it slipping and dipping. One day you're in the light, the next day you're in darkness, but you say you love the Lord. You say you love the Lord, but you despise your brothers and sisters. You're tempting Christ. He says, never murmur. See, too many gossipers in the church. Too much jealousy. Too much gossiping. He says, neither murmur. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. You remember the murmur against Moses and against Aaron. And Moses said, they're not really murmuring against us. They're murmuring against God, what he was saying. We are God's representatives. When people talk behind our backs about us, they're talking about God because we're living for God. We're not playing it. We're living it. Hallelujah. So here, the people here commit apostasy against God. They begin, in other words, they begin falling away. going back into their old lifestyle when they was in Egypt. They were doing everything that they want to because Pharaoh just had, all Pharaoh was concerned that they did the work that he called them to do, that he got them in bondage to do. As long as you do what the devil wants, the devil says, hey, okay, you can do anything else. You can have sex, you can fornicate, whatever. As long as you keep on doing what I want you to do. You stay away from praising God, honoring your God, and you do what I want. I don't care. So the prophecies are committed by Israel. They displeased God, and many were killed. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 to 6. They were guilty of idolatry. They engaged in pagan revelry. In other words, they were worshiping the same gods as their neighbors. The other nations, they were worshiping these gods that wasn't no gods at all. Remember I told you that yesterday? Hallelujah. They were worshiping gods. God said they were worshiping gods that were not even gods. No, they were guilty of immorality. 23,000 died in one day. 23,000 in one day because of sin. Because of sin, S-I-N. And we are playing around with God and put these things out and like, only by grace that you're still here. Only by this unmerited favor that you're still here. Because you still want to going up behind the podium and preaching and claiming you got the anointing, claiming that you are fire-filled, fire-baptized, Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking, and you're still dipping, slipping and dipping. In Susie's house at night. In Johnny's house. In the daytime, afternoon, come home for lunch break, and you're going and taking a quickie, but you love the Lord, that God can't see. Remember the people said yesterday that God can't see. Remember I asked you if you take him on a safari, if he's somewhere in the Caribbean, on the sabbatical, he's drinking coconut water on the beach. No, he's not. He's looking over everything in every nation of the world, every continent. He's seeing everything that's going on because he's that great. He sees everything at the same time. Everywhere. He's the sovereign God, omnipotent God, omniscient, omnipresent. He's everywhere, all-known, all-powerful God at the same time. He says, they were guilty of impunity. They died of snake bites. They were guilty of ingratitude, ungrateful. They grumbled, they murmured, and God sent angels, the angel of death. This is the God of love, the God of compassion. Sometimes they were, how can he love? This is what the people are saying today. When they have a confrontation or debate with some evangelist, they say, but if God is such a God of love, why would he send somebody to hell? Always say, God ain't going to send nobody to hell. People are going to send themselves to hell. Sin, S-I-N, going to commit them to hell because they refuse to repent and turn away from sin. As often as I go to the altar today, I got to repent. And they're crying, they're snorting, the water coming down their eyes, the snot coming out their noses, and everything. Oh, my Lord, they're falling down on the floor, Lord, and the pastor said, leave them alone. That's God working on them. They get up and go do the same thing. God working on them, they're putting on a show. They're putting on a show for the congregation with the pastor. God's not concerned about no show. God is looking at your heart. If you really change, your heart change. It's a heart thing. David said, created me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. It got to happen from the inside, not the outside job. We put on fancy clothes. We got the best suit, the best suit, the best dress, the best wig. We got all that good stuff on the outside, but the inside is still like a sepulcher. It's still like a tomb, whitewashed tomb on the inside. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 22. Let's go over here to Ezekiel 22. Where? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 first. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, and then we'll come back to Ezekiel 22. Please. Jesus, we thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
We thank the Lord. Thank you, Brother Deacon. The word of God is so sweet. When you get it, it does something to your spirit. I tell you, it does something to your spirit. It does something. It just sets you at peace.
yesterday. My wife got so mad at me. I think they had it on the radio. But I said, honey, don't worry. Not night before, when I was talking with Deacon, and he said, you making out with talking. She laid in the bed. She tried to go to sleep. I'm trying to encourage Deacon on it. She said, you can go outside. I said, God, but God is so good. He's a funny God. Yesterday, he's so sweet. Yesterday, I said something to her, and it wasn't right. I didn't mean anything bad by it, but the way she took it, you know. And I done lay across the bed where this grabbed me. Said, no, you can't relax and be comfortable with that when she's not happy. So I had to go tell her. I said, honey, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, you know. Out of my spirit, I didn't feel like I was offending her, but she took it offensive, and I had to go clear that up, clear the air. Man, don't get up there and feel like you all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi-Cola, and you put fire inside your house. You can't hold fire in your hand. You can't hold fire in your hand, it'll burn you. You got to get that thing cooled down. Go make it right with your husband. Make it right with your wife. You run around because you want to feel like you're the big honcho. No. Go make that thing right with your husband. Go make it right with your wife so you have peace in your house. If you don't have peace in your house, you're not going to have peace in God's house. When you go to God's house, you still ain't going to have no peace. You in there, the choir singing, all that stuff. You're jumping, but you're jumping on the outside. But in the inside, you're burning up on the inside because you don't have, you know, when you go back to your house, you got to go back to that fire. Make it right first. He said here in Hebrews chapter 4, I only had two verses here, but let's go to start at verse 1. He said, let us therefore fear or reverence, lest if promise being left us of entering into his rest. See, we got to reverence him. We got to reverence God. We got to live with reverence for God, respect, honor for God. We are his chosen people. We are the ones that he shed his blood for. Why are we going to still act like the world when he brought us out of the world? He said we are in this world, but we're no longer of this world. In other words, we no longer have the characteristics of the world. We are being changed. He's changing us. He's perfecting us. But we still want to act like them. I said yesterday, Judge Merz, she goes on YouTube, and she's putting pictures up now with her getting tattoos. Why? She's trying to please the world. She's trying to connect more and more with the world. Satan is overtaking them. Don't care how much women they're drawing. Because a lot of people are following the crowd. But we not need to follow the crowd. We need to follow the clouds. The cloud, not the crowd. We need to follow the cloud. But so many people are following the cloud. The crowd. They're following the crowd. People jump off. I don't care to jump off. Because I'm not preaching for people to stay. I'm preaching for people to get saved. To know what God is saying. Listen what he says. Let us therefore fear or reverence lest, if promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Don't let anything that you do today cause you not to enter into his rest. Live a lifestyle that you'll be able to enter into paradise. Paradise, where God is rest. It's a place of rest. It's a place of peace. He said, for unto us was the gospel preached. And as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Some people are hearing the word of God, but they're not receiving it. They don't have faith to receive it. Because their mindset is to critique. Hear what I'm saying. They're not going to hear what God says. I'm going down here. I want to listen to the preacher. But they don't have a mindset. I want to hear what God has for me. All the other stuff can go over my head. But I want to know what God has for me. This is where I go to service. I go, God is something. All is not for me. I know sometimes we cook. I don't eat a lot of stuff, different stuff. You know, I'm very picky about what I eat. And my wife is a good cook. I'm a good cook, too. But everything is on the plate is not for me. You know, I eat what I want to eat. And I said, well, honey, that's good. I'm good. Chef. I'm good. Well, even though all of God's word is good, but all is not for you. All is not for me.
That's something that you know that you have overcome. You have grown into. But there's other things that coming off of the sermon where you hear it, you'll see, well, oh, God, I got to get in that. That's the part that I need, Lord. I ain't reached that dimension yet, so I need that. So here he says some of them, the word didn't profit them, be not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We gotta hear this word. That's a lot of time when I'm studying loud. My wife said, "Why can't you study secrets?" I said, "No, because I'm building my faith." I said, "When I hear the word of God coming out of my mouth, my faith is getting deeper. It's getting higher." He says, "Listen what he said. Listen what he said here in this word in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. He says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said." As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, see, what's going to help us to get into the rest is us believing in what he has done at Calvary. The shed blood, the pierced side, the nail hands, the nail feet, the crown head is going to cause us to enter into his rest, because now that we see and we hear, we begin to live a life in order to get into his rest. You're not going to get into rest because you give a lot of money to the church. You're not going to get into his rest because you give to the poor and to the widows and the orphans. But you're going to get into his rest when you walk in obedience to his word. When you walk in obedience, he says, obedience is better than sacrifice. A lot of people are writing $1 million checks to these bishops and apostles. But they're living contrary to the word of God, the instruction of God. We need to get to this place. Oh, my God, I hear you, Lord. You're moving me different. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. I hear you, Holy Spirit. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we're going to take it the way you give it to us. We're going to take it. We don't direct this thing. Let's go to 2 Chronicles and let's pick up. Let me see which book I have. Oh, Jesus, let's go to. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, help us. Help us. 2 Chronicles. Let me see. Let's go to the message. Message Bible. If it opens. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And let's start at verse 16. We're talking about the rebellion and abomination after abomination.
Amen.
People are going deeper and deeper into sin. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Deeper and deeper because they only want to please their flesh. And they tell you, well, this is my life. I only got one life to live, and I'm going to live it the way I choose to. But according to these 66 books, there's more than one life. The Bible talks about a second resurrection. The Bible talks about it in the book of Revelation. So when you think it's all over, you're coming up for the final judgment. The final judgment, those that live a sinful lifestyle and decide they don't want to repent, there's no need for it. I don't have no love for Jesus. He's not my God. I have no intention to serve him. They rejected, bluntly rejected him. 23,000 died because of disobedience in the wilderness. Some died from heat exhaustion. Some died from the serpents. Some died just from the wrath of God coming upon them because of the disobedience, rejection of God. They just fall away and decide to worship different entities. Here in this book here, this king here is Uzziah, verse 16. He says, verse 16, let's start at verse 16. He says, but then the strength of and success went to his head. Arrogant and proud, he fell. One day contemptuous of God, he walked into the temple of God like he owned it and took over burning incense on the incense altar. Now this king, he goes in King Uzziah. He goes into God's house. How many of you know that some people go into the church building out today and think they can overrun the church? There's a man of God, a woman of God that's leading, and they go in there and they say, well, I can do better than the preacher. I know better than him. I can preach. I've been preaching for 50, 60, 70 years. I can do better. But they're not the person that God put there to direct or lead the house. No, he goes in there. He wants to go and because he got all of these men that's following him. He got all this great army of men of valor, strong men that are following him. And he got to this place that he's so filled with riches and everything. But he's going to go into God's house and act unseemly. People do that. I went on prayer lines before in church lines where people go on the church line and want to take over. Go on the prayer line and want to take over. I mean, I said, man, they don't have no kind of order. And what I do, I just backpedal. I just backpedal. The priest, Azariah, backed up by 80 brave priests of God, tried to prevent him. They tried to take the king, tell the king, man, you can't do this. This is God's house. You got a palace over there. But this is God's house. You can't come in God's house and act any way you want to. This is a holy place. This is a place where we reverence God, Jehovah God. But this isn't. They're confronting Uzziah. Excuse me. You must not. You cannot do this, Uzziah. Only the Aaronite priest, especially consecrated to the work, are permitted to burn incense. Get out of God's temple. You are unfaithful and in disgrace. Now, when they talk this, they say this to the king, now he gets bombastic. I mean, he was just out of order now. I mean, he really flipping out now. Don't you know who I am? You can picture him saying, don't you know that I'm the king? How can you say that? You can't talk to me in like that. But they forget that he is in God's house. How many people go in and want to overtake God's place? But Uzziah, censer in hand, he got the incense censer in his hand, was already in the middle of doing it and angrily rebuffed the priest. He lost his temper, angry words were exchanged, and then, even as their quarrel, a skin disease appeared on his forehead. In other words, in another book, it said God struck him with leprosy. This is the God of love. And people say, well, God ain't going to do nothing like that because he's the God of love. No, the Bible said that in the King James, I read, it said God struck him with leprosy on his forehead. Why? God wants everybody to see that he had sinned. He had sinned in the house of God. He did what he was not supposed. He was not ordained to go and light the incense. Everybody was placed in their rightful place. Remember one time, Moses, God told Moses to consecrate Aaron and his sons. They were priests. And he said to consecrate Aaron and his sons. And he said, let them come up and minister to me first. And then they go minister the congregation. We don't see that. We think we're just going out on the altar and jumping. Man, you minister to God first. So you got to focus on what are you giving God? What are you giving God? Is it coming from your center of your heart? Or is this coming from the top of your head? Because you want to please the congregation. A lot of highfalutin words. There's no peace inside of you. No grace. No humility. No kindness. And God sends it. He said that when he crawled, he even talked to the priest, God's servants, like they're nobody. And God struck him with leprosy right in his forehead so that everybody could see. He didn't struck him on his hand, on his foot, on his leg, on his behind, on his back, or his chest. God struck him with leprosy in his forehead. Why? Because rebellion, abomination after abomination. Hallelujah. So the priest now, after they saw that he had this leprosy in his forehead, as soon as they saw it, the chief priest, Azariah, and the other priests got him out of there as fast as they could. He hurried out. He knew that God then and there had given him the disease. They hurried him out of the temple. Uzziah had this skin disease for the rest of his life and had to live in quarantine. Remember when Moses' sister, Miriam, had murmured against Moses and God struck her with leprosy? She had to live outside of the compound, of the camp. King Uzziah had leprosy, so now he had to live outside. He couldn't even live in his own palace because he had leprosy. He had to live in quarantine. He was not permitted to set foot in the temple of God. His son, Jotham, who managed the royal palace, took over the government of the country. The rest of the history of Uzziah from start to finish was written by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. When Uzziah died, they buried him with his ancestors in a field next to the royal cemetery. His skin disease disqualified him from burial in the royal cemetery. His son Jotham became the next king. Look, because of leprosy, they didn't even bury him where the other kings were buried. Royalty in the royal cemetery. He was buried outside because of this sin that he committed. He got this leprosy, and leprosy did not allow them to bury him in with the other in the royal cemetery. This is what God does. People are crazy. They don't believe that God, the same God that shed his blood for you, would condemn you. No, your sin would condemn you to hell because you don't want to be obedient. You don't want to follow the word, the leading of God. Let's go to Ezekiel 22. Glory to God. Let's go to the Logos Bible. Ezekiel 22. And Ezekiel's statement about the word of God coming to him, it marks off three separate discourses devoted to indicting Jerusalem and the inhabitants of Judah for their corruption. The prophet's responsibilities included raising the people's awareness of God's perspective on their conduct. The specific accusations reflect Ezekiel's detailed knowledge of biblical law. In other words, Ezekiel knew the law of Moses, the book of law, the Pentateuch. He knew the law, what God requires of his people. The thing is that today we are not teaching the law. We are not teaching what God requires. So people in the house of the Lord are doing anything, anywhere, and anyhow, whatever they choose to do, they're doing. But we as leaders, as preachers, ministers of the gospel, need to tell the people, no. God requires holiness, righteousness. He requires us being separated from sin. Sin is in the world, but we don't have to indulge in sin. This is what we need to teach the people. You can still have a happy life without dipping and dabbing in sin. The book of Leviticus, the specific accusation reflects Ezekiel's detailed knowledge of biblical law, especially Leviticus, and invokes the same behaviors criticized hypothetically in chapter 18. You know where we talk about all the different stuff that the people are doing in Romans chapter 1? It's right here in Leviticus chapter 18. Hallelujah. The prophet identifies sinful Judah with the wicked son who was held responsible for his own sinful behavior in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 10 to 13. Verse 10 denotes clear connections to legal prohibitions. Ezekiel condemnation focuses on issues of bloodshed and rituals, impurity, and defilement. Here, the word of Yahweh came to me, Ezekiel, saying, "And you, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city? Then you must make known to her all of her detestable things or abominable things. And you must say, thus says the Lord Yahweh, a city pouring out blood in the midst of her, its time has come." We're looking at the United States of America. You're looking at Britain. You're looking at France. You're looking at Canada. You're looking at all of these nations. And you can, oh, every time you turn on the television, you can hear about catastrophes. You can hear about murder. All this stuff is going on. God is saying that the time, their time, our times have come. The time for this disgusting and evil behavior in the world has come. Judgment are already here. He says, "And it made idols for itself, becoming unclean by your blood that you poured out, you have become guilty. And by your idols that you made, you have become unclean. And you have brought your day's name." In other words, you have brought your day's name, meaning that you're bringing yourself closer to death. Closer to death. Because you are rejecting all the instructions of God. Today you're going out. You got to be careful even going to the gas station. Even in the daytime. You got to be looking over your left shoulder and right shoulder because you don't know who's going to come up behind you and drive a knife in your side, in your back, and take your life, in your life. The wickedness. And the people are doing these things because they know if they go in, they get arrested and put in jail, that this wicked administration, these DOJs, is going to let the people back out. Put the criminals back on the street. He says, "And your appointed years have come. Therefore, I have made you a disgrace for the nations and a laughingstock to all the countries. The people near and the people far from you will make fun of you." Aren't they doing the same thing to the United States now? Every time the president go away and go to some country to speak, leaders, you watch them. Just watch them on TV. Look at them on TV. They're laughing at him. When they laugh at him, they're laughing at us. They're laughing at the United States of America. But this is what the people chose. They chose to say, "I want Biden. I want the Democratic Party to be in house, to be leading this country." And because of their leading and because of these people that voted into offices, I heard last night they said the man was saying, he's saying that thousands upon thousands, if not millions of people going to die this winter. This is what the man said last night. That man, you go listen to the news so you can prepare yourself. They say, "Minister Jones, you drive a diesel truck." They say in 25 days from yesterday, that's what it says. In 25 days, that this country going to be out without diesel. Not only us, all over the world. And the heating oil is a form of diesel. They call it oil, but it's a form of diesel. And if they don't have oil for 20, and the out of oil, diesel in 25 days, and we just, it's cold already. We had to turn on our heat. A couple of nights ago, we had to turn on the heat. It was so cold. Now today it's warm. It's almost 70 degrees. But we're going to go from here into cold, right out cold weather. And if they ran out in 25 days, how many people, elderly people that still living in their homes with all heat? And they said the natural gas is going to run out because of administration. And the man said, lad, they said thousands of people. He says they want to control population. He said, well, they're controlling it now. I think Minister Jones or somebody, or maybe a prophetess, sent me a post. And they were showing you, man, you got to see these people are wicked. They are wicked. I'm talking about rebellious. Abomination after abomination. Detestable things they did. They said in 1947, I was listening to that thing this morning. They have comes up, this thing has to control the weather. So it's all about what they're doing. And this thing started from 1949. I've listened to it. And how they go up and they put dry ice in the middle of the hurricane. In the storm's eye. To cause the storm to go one way or the hurricane to go one way or another way. They can change the weather. They know how to do it. But people are sitting out here and they're so deaf and so blind. God said they got eyes and can't see, ears and can't hear. They don't realize that the government is doing this to us. They're doing it to us. And people are blind. They don't believe. They don't believe. Right before their face, they're being destroyed. Right before their face. But listen to what he says, man. I'm telling you something. We got to go wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. The man said last night, they're not going to have enough generators in the stores. And then if you buy the generator, you ain't going to have no gasoline. The generator's not, unless you get a generator that runs off of solar, runs off the sun, and they're very expensive. Listen to what it says. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 6. He said, look, the princes of Israel, each one according to his strength, they are in you for the shedding of blood. They have treated father and mother with contempt in you. He's talking about what's going on in our nation right now and in the nations. Sons and daughters have no respect for their parents. You see it? When they're not saying all, you know, I'm not taking all. God's not saying all because God's speaking about who he's speaking about. He knows that he can look from heaven and see that a lot of sons and a lot of daughters don't have no respect for their parents. Man, when I was growing up, if I had, like all these kids here today, disrespect their parents and grandparents, man, if I had to disrespect my mother, my God, that woman knew how to show a throw a shoe from the living room, come all the way, and I was standing in the kitchen at the sink doing something, and I talked back to my mama. She had said something, and I rebutted. My God, that would be one mistake I don't want to make again. Hallelujah. She would throw a shoe, and the next day I know my face would be swollen. And don't ever have to tell me did something wrong, and somebody complained to my mama. Come to my mama house, say, you know, your son did this or did that. She said, all right, I'll take care of it. And she told me, go up there, make sure you pick me a switch. Call it a switch. And she said, make sure you get a good one. Don't let me gotta go get one. If I get one that just got a lot of leaves on it, and a little skinny one, mama go up there and break off a good branch off the tree. And I tell you, she will whip me, tell me, I can't sit down. And I say, mama, don't hit me no more. And don't let her talk while she's hitting you. Because the more she talks, the more you get hit. These kids today, you can't touch them because the government takes their parental rights. And once you start to, I'm going to call the police on you. I'm going to call the government. No, in my country, you can't do that stuff. That's why the kids here spoil them. And they talk about them here in the book. Listen to what he says, man. It's so awesome how God puts everything in the world. You can't get around. He says, they have treated father and mother with contempt. They're in you. They're living in you. They're living in the nation. They violate the enemy with extortion in the midst of you. They mistreated the orphans and widows. You despise my holy objects. My Sabbath you profane. Listen to what it says. Everything that's of God, the people are tearing down. They defile it. They turn it upside down. Even the Sabbath, they refuse to keep the Sabbath holy. Slanderous men are among you to shed blood, and they among you eat upon the mountains. They do wickedness in the midst of you. In other words, they're on the high places. They're in the high places, the insecure places. They uncover the nakedness of a father among you. They violate a woman unclean of menstruation among you. In other words, they're having sex with women while they're in their menstrual cycle. They don't care. They don't respect it. And a man does a detestable thing with his wife of his neighbor. Go and rape his neighbor's wife. Molested her. Treated her unshamely. Listen to what it says. A man defies his daughter-in-law in wickedness. And a man sexually violates among you his sister, the daughter of his father. They take a bribe among you in order to shed blood, and you take usury. See, they're taking stock. They're like a loan shark, acting the same way. They're lending money and having to have interest on it. And you make gain for your neighbors by extortion. And so you have forgotten me, declares the Lord Yahweh. And look, I strike my hand for your ill-gotten gain that you have made and at your blood in the midst of you. Listen, listen, listen. People are killing people each other today like it's no tomorrow. Every time you get up and turn on the TV, it makes you sick. If you got a heart for life, it makes you sick to see the things people are doing. Women are killing their babies. Fathers are killing their daughters. We got a man now just got sentenced to life here in our country, in our state. And for years, they've been trying to find his little daughter. And he killed a girl. They can't, even though that they condemned him to life, he still wouldn't tell them where he buried a girl. Little girl, 5 years old or something like that. Wickedness! Nobody want to talk about. Can your heart endure? Or your hands be strong at the days in which I am dealing with you? I, Yahweh, have spoken, and I will act. I will scatter you among the nations, and I will disperse you through the countries, and I will purge your uncleanness from you. God still has love and compassion for us. In spite of how we act towards God, he still has a heart of love and compassion for the nations. He said, I will disperse you through the countries. And I will purge your in other words, he's going to clean you, your uncleanness from you. And I will be profaned by you before the eyes of the nations. And you will know that I am Yahweh. You will know that he's God. I'll give you a little bit more of this and I'm going to stop. That's a little bit more. The word of Yahweh came to me, Ezekiel says. He says, son of man, the house of Israel has become a silver dross to me. What happened is when you heat up silver or gold in the pot, in the furnace. The dross, which is the dirt, comes up to the top. And he says that Israel has become a silver dross to him. Filthy, dirty, because of their wickedness, their abomination. God is looking at us the same way. He is allowing us to go. He has extended the rope for us to go. Till we reach to the end. People are going, 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 going. Sinning, sinning after sin after sin after sin. Without any correction, without any and chastisement. They said, oh, as long as you come to church, you're all right. As long as you come, you're okay. God knows you're sinning. Just keep on coming. Don't get together with the people and pray with them for them to overcome the sin. He said, I am gathering you to the midst of Jerusalem. Like the gathering of silver and bronze and iron and lead and tin to the middle of a furnace. To blow fire on it for melting. Thus I will gather in my anger and in my rage, and I will deposit you, and I will melt you, and I will gather you, and I will blow on you with the fire of my wrath. And so I will melt you in the midst of her. Do you hear what God's saying? When something becomes melted, it becomes flexible. I'm going to break it down where I can do what I need to do with it. Thus, you will be melted like the melting of silver in the midst of a furnace. And you will know that I, Yahweh, have poured out my rage on you. And the word of God came to me saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land not cleansed. It is not rain. It is not rain upon it in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of its prophets in the midst of her is like a roaring lion that is saying prayer. They devour people and they take wealth and treasure. They make its widows numerous in the midst of her. Its priests treat my law violently, and they profane my holy objects. This is the priests, the servants of God that are supposed to make a difference, are adapting to whatever's going on. They're putting the flag on the house of God that represents sin. God is seeing all this stuff. And we the lay people are sitting dormant, doing nothing, sitting on our two hands, doing nothing. Our mouth has duct tape on it. Like we have been assaulted. We have duct tape on our mouth and hands. We do nothing. And God says, you have to sound the alarm. If they kill you, they kill you. Because to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord, you're afraid to die. You're afraid to get hurt. So you will not speak the truth. It's only the truth that's going to make a difference. If you're agreeing with the lying tongues, you're not going to make a difference. I don't care how well somebody preach. I'm interested in how you're living. How you're living. And I want to be like the person that who's getting closer to God. Who's striving to be filled. Who got a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want to be close to that person. I don't care if they don't have a dime. If priests treat my law violently, and they profane my holy place objects, they do not distinguish between a holy object and what is unholy, or between the clean and the unclean. They do not teach the difference. You hear that, what God is saying? They do not teach the difference, and they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths. And so I am profane in the midst of them. They talk bad about God. The priests are around when people are talking ill, the Savior. You don't get the people in there saying Jesus this and Jesus that. And you're supposed to be a born-again believer, but you don't rebuke them. You're afraid that somebody's going to hurt you if you say something. You don't stand up for Jesus. He was hanged up for us, but we wouldn't stand up for him. Listen, man. I'm going to stop here now. Its officials are like wolves hearing prayer in its midst, to pour out blood, to destroy people, to make this honest gain. This is, aren't we seeing this here in our government right now? Aren't we seeing all this in our government? All they're interested in is gain. For them, it's prophets plaster whitewash. Hear that? They are seeing falseness and are practicing divination for them by lying, saying, thus saith the Lord Yahweh, and Yahweh has not spoken. They severely oppress the people of the land, and they commit robbery, and they mistreated the needy and the poor, and they oppress the alien without justice. And so I sought for them somebody, one repairing the wall and standing in the breach before me on behalf of the land, not to destroy. God is looking for somebody who will stand up for truth. Here he's speaking to the prophet Ezekiel. He's talking about the false prophets and the priests that will not stand up for truth. And God said that he will look, he's looking for somebody who will repair, one, repairing the wall and standing in the breach. Someone who will stand in the gap for righteousness, for holiness. God is looking for this. Will you be that one today? Will you be the one say, Lord, like Isaiah, send me, I'll go. Or you say, no, I can't go because the people down there are too wicked. Or you become a judge to the people. Or the one that will become, or you will become the light, the salt and the light to the people. That will make a difference in your neighborhood, in your city. Are you willing to go on a fast for your own city? Or are you too busy getting to all you can eat? Something to think about. Just a couple more verses. We're done here. We finish for the day. I'll come back another day. The Lord says so. I got to do a part five and then we finish. And we go to something else. Here's what he says. And so I sought for them somebody. God is looking for the nation. In the nation, he's looking for somebody who will declare the truth. He's looking through. His eyes is going to and fro looking for people who will talk, speak the truth. They're not concerned about getting their bank account overflow with money. They're not concerned with that. They're concerned about winning souls for the kingdom. Pointing people to Jesus, letting them know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one can come to the Father except through him. They're not afraid to say that Jesus is Lord. Because a lot of people are not saying it today. We heard it when we were growing up. Now they're telling you that, oh, the Bible is wrong. The Bible is wrong. Jesus is not in the Bible. They're telling you all this stuff because the devil trying everything to stop you from calling Jesus. Because he knows that name Jesus makes him tremble. He know Yeshua makes him tremble. Yahweh makes him tremble. He don't want you to call that stuff. Let's preach the stuff. Just get some words, put a sermon together, and use some words that you learn at school of theology. Use them words. But don't you call the holy name of God. Don't you call Jesus. Don't you call Yeshua, Yahweh, or Tiskanua. Don't you call the names. People are going to be offended. If you talk against sin, people are going to be offended. Let them get offended on this side. So when they come before God, they can't say that you didn't tell them. They didn't hear it from somebody. He said, I'm searching, I'm looking for somebody who will repair the wall and standing in the breach before me on behalf of the land, not to destroy it. Will you stand up for America today? Or will you be in agreement with America? The sin that's in our nation. We love America. We love America. I mean, if you hear you don't love it, go somewhere else. I come from another country, but I love you. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I love America. But what's going on in here, I don't love. I don't love the lying presidents, the Congress, the Senate, Supreme Court justice, the police department. I don't love them. I love them as people, but I don't love what they're doing. Let me say that right. Let me make that right. I love what they're them as human beings, but I don't love what they're doing. He said, look, I will destroy the land. That's what God said. If you will stand up, you will pray, and you would pray and you would fast for the land. They said, I will save the land. He told you that in Chronicles. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, he said, I will forgive your sins and heal your land. He said, I will hear from heaven. God wants, he wants to hear on our behalf, but we got to stand. He said, but I did not find anyone. Oh, my God. God is looking everywhere. God says to Ezekiel, but I did not find anyone who would stand in the gap for the people, for the country, for the nation. And so I pour out my indignation, his wrath, on them. With the fire of my wrath, I destroy them. I turn and I return their way upon their heads, declares the Lord Yahweh. Everything that the people were doing, because God couldn't find nobody could stand in the gap. Remember when Abraham was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah? Couldn't find 10 righteous people. You see, I couldn't find nobody that would stand in the gap for the land. So I returned their indignation, their sin, their actions, their habits, everything that they were doing, I returned back to them. God says this. This is not what David is saying. This is what God says. I'm reading out the Logos Bible, but, you know, and there's a lot of elaboration in this, but I'm not even elaborating from that side. I'm just talking about what the Holy Spirit is giving to me in this time, in this day. There's a lot more going to get. I got one more part of this that I got to do. Next week, if the Lord say the same, and I'm in the land of the living. And then we're going to add grace to it. Because our God is a God of love, mercy, and grace. And even though he judges, he still has a hand that is full of mercy, full of compassion. He said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So regardless of, you remember how we were living, the lifestyle we were living, and God said, extend love and kindness to draw us out. That's why we have to have the same thing on our tongue. At the tip of our tongue has to have love and kindness. You say, I hate the homosexual. No, you got to love them, but you got to hate the sin. I just don't love them lesbians. I can't stand those fornicators, those adultery. You forget when you was fornicating, when you were committing adultery. You forget when you was in the whole house selling your body. Now you're saved and sanctified. You got no love, no compassion. God says, I call you out to send you back in. I call you out to send you back in. But now you're going back in different to how you came out. When you came out, you was raggedy. You were a scoundrel. And God washed you and cleansed you. Wash us and cleanse us. Now he wants us to go back in and show off. Let them see the blood that's on us, that's making us clean, that's perfecting us, because none of us are perfect yet. But he wants us to let them see the blood that's on us, that's perfecting us. We're being perfected every day, every day. Every day you study the word, every day you wake up, that God give you another day to see the sunlight, he's perfecting you. He's making you a little better than yesterday. God said, go back and let them see that. They remember who you used to be, but when they see who you're becoming, will make all the difference in their lives. Don't be rebellious. Don't commit abomination. Know that God has called you out so you can go back in. Don't ostracize people because you're doing a little bit better than they're doing. Remember, you're just a stone throw from hell. That's why Satan is still testing you and trying, still testing us, excuse me. That's why Satan is still testing us and trying us to see if he can draw us back into darkness. Extend the hand of love, compassion, mercy, and grace to our lost brothers and sisters so they might come in just like he draws in. People are not just going to come in. You got to draw them in. But they got to see the light that's on your life, on our lives. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. You got to let your light shine. This is no time for you dimming out your light because somebody acts strange to you, somebody acts ungodly to you. This is the time. Jesus, they were smacking Jesus, kicking and spitting on him, and he was carrying that heavy load on his shoulder.
the he was carrying that heavy load of sin on his shoulder, even though he wouldn't have, he was without sin. He was carrying your sin and my sin and my sin. He was carrying your sin and my sin on his shoulder. And he was extending love to the unlovable. He was extending love to the unlovable. The ones who call him names, the one who was ready to nail him to the cross, the one who was ready to crown him with thorns, pierce his side, he was still extending love. On the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done.
See you,
hon. Okay, hon. Love you so much. He told them, Father, forgive them, for they know. We got to get to that place. If we don't get to that place, we're missing it. We're missing it. We can't be like them. That's why he said, you're in this world, but not of this world. We can't let what they're doing to us or what they have done to us cause us not to extend the love of Christ. We say, I'm an ambassador of Christ. We have to tell another Christian, another believer, that you're ambassador, but are you living an ambassador life? That's what matters. Are you living a life as an ambassador? Are you really representing Jesus Christ? Ask yourself that. And if you can't get a true answer, wherever you are, fall down on your knees and ask God to have mercy. Ask God to fix what needs, help you to fix whatever needs to be fixed so you truly can become an ambassador for him. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. Lord, we pray that we have done all that you say to do the way you say to do it. I only spoke what I heard, and I did what you say to do. And Lord, I pray that it was pleasing to you. If it's pleasing to you, I know it will please somebody somewhere near or far, in the north, south, east, or west. We're not here to make money. We're not here to make friends, but we're here to win souls for the kingdom. Let me speak. Let us speak, thus says the Lord, that somebody might be drawn to him through the spirit of the word. The Bible said the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. And Father, we pray that we have sent forth the spirit of the word this morning. I ask you, God, to have mercy on our United States of America, not only United States, but the world, because the agenda is to destroy lives. The leaders of these different nations, they all have the same agendas, to destroy life. They have not created life, but they want to destroy life. And I'm going to ask you, Father God, that you hear our prayer today as our heart burns for the people, for the homeless, for the widows, for the fatherless, the motherless, the orphans. Our heart burns for those that don't know you today, that are still living in sin just like we were living in sin. Our heart burns for them today. We ask, God, that you draw them. Lord, touch their hearts and allow them to hear your voice as you speak through your word by your spirit, that they might be drawn to you, Lord. Lord, never allow them to hear my voice, but allow them to hear your voice, O God, as you speak through us, O God. And Father, we know they will be healed, they will be delivered, they will be restored. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Come on in, Bishop. You're unmuted. Come on in, Bishop.
Praise the Lord.
Come on.
Glory to his holy name.
Praise the Lord. Good day, sir.
Praise the Lord. Good day to everyone on the line. You enjoyed the message today. And read over the scriptures for yourself. Now, if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here is your opportunity once again. Opportunity, once again, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you've backslidden, I strongly urge you to come back home, prodigal sons and daughters, and for first-time believers. You may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you haven't accepted him, that makes it null and void. You must accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He is the only way to the Father. It's through Christ Jesus, our Savior. Yeah, that's why he is called the Savior of the world, the only way, the anointed one of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if you go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, and what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, only the Son of God Almighty, and God has sent him to save the world, not to condemn the world, but to save it, as it says in the book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes on him shall be saved. Now, you must believe it in your heart. You must speak it out of your mouth. I believe Jesus died for my sins and my iniquities. Jesus had sin put on him. He has never sinned. He never will sin because he is holy. He is holy God himself. And he cannot sin. But you must believe that Jesus died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead. You must speak it out loud. The devil cannot do anything but get thoughts into your mind. That's the reason it says the word is near you. It's in your mouth. And you must believe that Jesus died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead. If you've made that confession, you're saved. Your slate is clean. Any sins you have committed, you are forgiven at this moment. And your next step, if you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, ask your pastor to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that pastor doesn't want to, but you want to stay in your church, I'm not telling you to leave your church home. But the way to go is like it's done in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 38 through 40. And also, if you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you must repent. Repent, repent, repent. That's the key, to repent. Now, it's one of the keys. Now, in the book of Acts, Peter said to the multitude that was to be baptized, repent, every one of you. His first words was repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it will be well with you, and it will be helpful. It will be helpful to your family. Try to talk to everybody that you know to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as their Lord and Savior, and invite people to your baptism. Invite them, friend, enemy, neighbors, coworkers, strangers, and relatives. Invite them to your baptism, and talk to them, before you even get there. And if they come to your baptism, which is an outward sign that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. You've already spoken it and put it in the ears of the enemy, and now put it into the ears of everyone who I called out, friends, enemies, neighbors, relatives, strangers. Say to everyone, I'm going to be baptized. Whenever your baptism is, and invite them to your baptism. And somebody, at one time or another, is going to listen to what you told them about Jesus Christ and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be richly rewarded to bring a soul to Christ. Hallelujah. You made an attempt to do it. You'll be rewarded for it. Whether they accept Christ or not, it's not up to you. It's up to them. But try real hard to get them to do what you've just done. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, I can only tell you that is the way it's done in the book of Acts, like the apostles did it, because in the Word of God, also in the book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning at verse 10 through 12, read it for yourself. It's the only name under heaven given to mankind that you must be saved by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's the only name. It's Jesus Christ. Read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. It's in the Bible. The only true book that was ever written. Inspired by God. So these are the words of God. And take heed, please. And right now, with this way the troubled world is, and with all the corrupt politicians and spiritual leaders that are preaching the wrong things, don't believe it. Read the Bible for yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to interpret everything in that Bible. Put it on your mind and on your heart and try to understand. What you don't understand, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. And some way the Holy Spirit will do it. To someone else, or he'll give you an audible voice, or he'll talk to your mind and you in your heart. You'll believe. You'll understand through Christ Jesus what he's trying to say. So God bless each and every one of you. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome back home, prodigal brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Glory to your holy name, Lord. Thank you for the souls who have received you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you for the prayer of salvation. And praise God. Pray that God continue to strengthen you. God, strengthen your eyes, your ears, and your hearing. God, continue to touch your heart and keep you close to Him. Jesus' holy name. The line is open for anyone that want to, and keep Apostle Millie in prayer. We just felt her in my spirit very strong. Just keep her in prayer. Keep her in prayer. Just felt her just so strong in my spirit, so strong. All right, glory to God. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this woman of God. We ask you, Lord God, whatever's going on now, Lord, that you extinguish it right now, God. Aha, God, you eliminate it right now. God, we bind up everything that the enemy is bringing against her mind, body, and soul. Jesus, we ask you, God, to cover her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet in your blood, because not even the greatest torch can penetrate your blood. Father, we know that not electricity can penetrate your blood, nor arrow can penetrate your blood. So we ask you to cover her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, God. And God, we ask you to fix whatever is broken, Lord, make it whole right now. In the name of Jesus, strengthen her right now, Father. Give her strength. Give her, oh God, divine strength from the inside out, God. Lord, allow her lungs to operate right, her heart to operate right, her liver, her kidneys, her bladder, her pancreas, Lord, her eyes and ears, oh God. Lord, even her brain, God, let there be no tumors, no brain tumors, no breast tumors, Lord God. Ah, yes, Lord, we ask you, God, to do it for her right now. And, Father, we are careful in the precious name of Jesus to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for who you are. You are the sovereign Lord, the one who reigns forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name. The line is open for anyone that want to come on in and give God glory. The line is open. Okay, Brother Bishop, there's people on the line, other people on the line. Nobody responding. Go ahead and pray us out, Brother Bishop.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good night to everyone.
Good afternoon, Apostle.
God bless. God bless you all. Thank you, Apostle. God bless you for the word. Hallelujah. And you are blessed. Glory be to God for bringing this word again about the damnation and what the sins are going to cause. We know that the end is going to come, that God, Almighty God, is going to destroy the wicked. And anyone who follows in the ways of the wicked, in the ways of the devil, is doing what is wicked. Bottom line, unrighteousness is wicked. And I remember what Jesus said, what he said, and what he's still saying, is that all sin, all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. And many people don't think about it. You know, for instance, when we backbite, when we talk about, I mean, it's just, you know, just talking about somebody's business behind their back or lying on somebody or telling a story and adding to the story. It's just those kinds of things we don't think it's sin. And we look at everybody else and we point the finger at other people when they make a mistake or when their life is not what it's cracked up to be or whatever. But sin is sin. Jesus said that. And basically your whole message was about sin and also about the hope of glory, you know, that God will have compassion. He does have compassion when we decide we're going to repent. He has the compassion all the while because he loves us even while we are yet in sin. He loves us. He came to save us because of sin. Jesus would not have had to come if it had not been for the sin against Lord God Almighty. Even the devils know that Jesus is who he is. And the saddest thing is that, and you mentioned that people call on the name of Jesus. And what's so sad is they call on the name of Jesus and ask him for this, always ask him for this, ask him for that, proclaiming this, claiming in the name of Jesus. And yet don't do what Jesus has commanded us to do, what the word has commanded us to do. God is not hearing that. He's not hearing it. And God is going to cut it down. He's going to cut it off. There is going to be a day, just like the demons. The demons know. They know that Jesus has already, they know that they're doomed. And, you know, when the, what came to my mind when you were preaching, so heavy, it came so heavy in my mind when Jesus met the man filled with the demons at Gadara. And the demons cried out, "Do with us, Jesus. What have you got to do with us, Son of God? Did you come here? What are you doing? Did you come here before the time to torment us?" Remember that? Did you come before the time? Because they know. Yes, he has. Jesus has already come. And they knew. Even the devil knows that there's an appointed time for his torment, for the evil powers to be tormented. So we got to know there's an appointed time for all evil, for those who follow the Father of lies. For those who follow our Father of truth, then we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed with this great gift that God has for us and being blessed with his grace, blessed with his favor. All of us have the grace of God. Even while we are yet in sin, we have the grace. But when we follow, when we don't follow through on everything, what you are saying is that they're going to be cut off. The word is specific. It's very, very specific. God is saying, "I'm going to cut off the enemy." When we become enemies of God, we get cut off. And it's a sad thing because people, just like the devil, they know They know that their time is coming for the torment. Just like when the preachers are preaching in the name of Jesus, they know. They know, but they still do the evil. See, the devil know, but he's not changing his ways. Just like some people know, but they're not changing their ways. But they still know about the name of Jesus. They still will use the name of Jesus. So the devil knows that his day of torment is coming. And what you are saying to people today, if we don't straighten up, then the day of torment is already set forth. It's set. There's a time set for the torment. And these devils know they are doomed, but they don't fight. They don't fight hoping for the day when it's all going to be all right and they're just going to take over. They don't. That's not what they're fighting for. They know they can't have the victory. They already know. But the people of God know, people of God who are born again, really Christians, they know that my day is coming. They know that we have the victory. The devil know he cannot win this fight. But what he want to do, and I believe you said it in the word, because some of it I missed because I got off. I had to get off the line. But the devil knows that he's going to be destroyed. And what you are saying today is that you don't want to destroy your life. They really are deceived into thinking that, oh, well, it's going to be all right because God is full of grace. God is full of mercy. Well, we take his mercy and his grace for granted. And one day, and it might be tomorrow, the next minute, or whatever, you might take your last breath while you're still in sin. And so God is saying so very clearly, so very loudly today, come out. Come out from among those in the world. Come out of the sin. You talked about your testimony, and we all have that testimony. Those who have come out, we have that testimony, whether we're out or in. One time we were in and we went back out. And even if we're backslidden and went back out, we know that there was a time when we really believed and we do know about Jesus. But we still walk outside of the will of God. So what you're saying today, there is a time, and that's what came to my mind. There is a time that is set. It's set. But here's the thing. The people of God know about the victory. We know we have the victory. We have that hope. But for the people who continue to walk on the wild side, on the dark side, I call it the wild side, go ahead on. I hope today that this message and all of these messages that are coming as a warning to people, to all of us, get it together if you don't have it together. Be prepared. Get prepared and stay prepared for whenever the Lord is going to come. He is coming. But see, the devil know he is too. He know he's got his doomsday. So we got to know there's a doomsday for those who have cut the Lord off and rejected him. God's going to cut off that evil too. Devil is just fighting to drag all of us down, as many as he can. That's his fight. That's his insatiable desire, is to tear everybody, to tear the people down, the Christians, because he already got his crew. He know, hey, this is what I heard too. He know he got the ones that's claiming, naming and claiming it in the name of Jesus, but still following him. He know he got them. That doesn't scare him. That doesn't scare him at all. That doesn't bother him when people who are walking with him is using the name of Jesus. He know they have no victory. He know their victory is not there because they're not walking in the ways of God. So Jesus Christ is going to be the one to bring the torment. It's going to be torment forever. So they recognize him and they cry out, it's not the time yet. They're telling Jesus, it's not the time. You're too early. See, they know stuff. They know they're doomed. They know for certain that Jesus has already defeated them. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes to that, Apostle. Glory to God.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome, sir. And so that's what I heard, that scripture. And it's ironic that Pastor James and I were talking about it yesterday, mentioned it yesterday or Saturday, about these demons. I think I was reading it. It was last night. I was reading that scripture. And as you were preaching, it stuck out in my head. It was already in my head because I was not dreaming about it. But I was reading about it, and it's baffling, not really baffling, but it's something else that the devil is on the mission, and he stays on his mission. And that mission is to drag as many as he can down with him. So why not we? What are we doing? You know, we got to be on a mission to live for God, to Jesus, as we're living for God and walking in the light. You mentioned the light also. We got to come out the dark because darkness is of the devil. And we got to fear Jesus. The devils fear Jesus. They're scared of it. And you said it. Just at the name of Jesus, they're scared. But that doesn't stop them. That doesn't take them off the mission. So we can have very much trouble come, different things happen to us, Apostle. Many things happen. Adversity comes, afflictions come, all of these things, trouble, storms, all of that. Sickness, pain, anxieties, and stuff. But we know we're not doomed. We know we're not doomed because we're going to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to live by faith. Amen? But they know, the devil know the Son of God. And they know he's the victor. And we too are victorious. And he knows that and he hates us. Hallelujah. So anyway, we got to keep this in mind. Keep these scriptures and this word. And if we listen to this word over and over and read it and don't do it, what good is it? What good is it to preach, teach the word, be this prolific speaker, and even if you're not, but you're teaching the word, and on our way to doomsday. It makes no sense. But somehow people have been fooled to think that it's going to be all right because God knows me. He knows my need. And he knows. He knows that I'm just human. And he have mercy on me and pity on me because God said, I got pity on you because you're only dust. You're pitiful. You're only dust. So when God says these things in his word and people see that God comes back and he says, well, I'm not going to destroy everybody and I'm going to let some live, but it's only for his glory, only for his purpose can come to him. So we got to think about it. What are we doing? What are we really doing for God? Because basically, the people you're talking about, that you talked about, those that are the backslidden preachers and the prophets and the apostles and all of that, the backslidden ones, they're doing it for them. They're doing it for them. It's a selfish thing. It has nothing to do with the people that they teach and preach to. It has nothing to do with them. It's all to do with those who are doing the preaching, but preaching your way right into doomsday. Because God will cut it off. He's going to cut off the evil. There's a time of a final defeat for the devil, and there's a time when God is going to throw those people into the lake of fire that do not really know him. You can know the scriptures and not know the Lord. So that's all I have to say, Apostle.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Apostle. You said a lot. Mother Grant, thank you so much. Did you hear from Peter?
Yeah, I finally did. I finally did hear from him. The Lord answered the prayer, and with much blessing.
Praise the Lord.
I called one of the numbers. The Lord just put it on my mind to call some of these unknown numbers that he called from. And I called one man, and he was sound like Spanish or whatever. That doesn't matter. And I asked him, did he remember him asking for his phone, to use his phone, because he still doesn't have his phone back yet. I have to take it to him. And he said, yeah, I remember him. He said, I remember. He said, he's sitting there. I saw him today. He's sitting there. So the Lord answered my prayer right away. Peter called me last night, and we got his pizza. And everything is working right on schedule. He got his pizza. And he told me, look, just get me all beef this time because I got to watch my cholesterol. I can't be eating that pepperoni. But then he tells me that he can't eat. It's so funny, the things he does, because he says, you know, I need that protein, but just get me all beef, a double portion of the beef on a pizza, but get me a 2-liter. I'm like, okay, you want something good. You want the protein, but now you want a 2-liter. You're going to drink the 2-liter. It's so funny how he does things, you know, but he's so concerned. He said, because I got to watch my cholesterol. You know, I can't be eating all that stuff that make your cholesterol high. You're right.
He's a funny man.
But God bless me. And then God bless this morning. I had called one of the ladies that allowed him to use her phone from time to time. And I called that number. She said, I remember your son. She said, he doesn't bother anybody. And she said, yeah. She said, I remember him, but I don't go that way anymore. She said, I live in a different place. She said, you know, I was homeless one time. And she gave me her testimony. So I invited her to Blog Talk to give her testimony. Mm. But she said she was homeless. And we talked yesterday, and we talked again this morning. She said she's a minister now. And she told me about a place where you can, where they will give you a place while you're waiting for your place, which it'll only be a few more weeks. But I don't know if he's going to want to go, because in some ways, I think he likes being around where he can just, like, go walk in places, and because he likes to walk. So I think he's okay in some ways because he likes being out and about. But, you know, it's getting ready to get real cold. But anyway, he sounded real good last night. And I thank God that he answered my prayers, and with a blessing. It's always a blessing, the prayer, but he gave more than I asked him for, like he always does. I got to talk to someone and give me a testimony, which blessed my heart, and also to tell me that my son really doesn't bother anybody, she said, you know, and that made me feel good, too, because I know he's just doing what's right. And I don't have to worry about him getting in trouble necessarily, you know, and I know God's got him. But so it's just a blessing how God goes over and beyond what we ask for. Like he said, he does exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask and think. I got to talk to the Spanish guy. I got to talk to him, had good things to say about my son. The lady had good things to say about him, and also that he was all right. He was all right and gave me other information about other help that he can receive if he just wanted to receive it. So God always does more. And then to hear that testimony, that lady was telling me about different places that they have in New Orleans, if we wanted to pursue that, that's available right now. I also learned that Section 8 is available not only for the mentally challenged and the physically challenged, but also for others who are of low income or serve. You know how it works with Section 8.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I learned some things that I could share with other people, which is a blessing, because, you know, they don't advertise Section 8 everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not at, it goes mouth to mouth. And so now I can call
you gotta
them
know about
and tell
it.
Them. You got to know about it so I can call
mm-hmm.
some folk and let them know if there's anybody that know they can qualify. I think you have to be under $14,000 a year or something like that. Whatever, if they meet the criteria, that they would be able to qualify for this Section 8, because Apostle, people are hurting. Poor people are hurting
yes.
so bad. The ones that have been in the country, the ones who have suffered and suffered and suffered are still suffering. And it's so sad. So whenever we get this type of information, we have to share it to help others. And God gave it to me for a purpose so that I can spread it, share it, because many people won't even know about it. Praise God. So, yeah, everything is fine. God answered. And I asked God, I said, God, please let him call me today. Thank God. Thank God. Because I was calling around, different places to see if he was there. And that's
We prayed about it last night. We prayed about it last night. I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm praying. I hope that I also hear from her son. I'm glad that you heard.
Thank God. I heard good things.
Yep. Good report.
He's just peaceful. He's just peaceful, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And she said, I believe she said, she asked him, did he know the Lord? And he said, yeah. She ministered to him. And he said, yeah, he was saved, because he is saved. So beautiful to know. That you have, God sends ministers out to minister and to show the kindness and the love of Christ. That's just what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be that light. And so I thank God I was talking to a believer who reaches out and really, really is a believer and reaches out to others. It blesses our heart, Apostle.
Yeah.
She called me this morning. She called me again. And she found out some more information to share. And that is just what God does. When we pray, he always gives us more than what we pray for. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why it's just so important that we just give up the old stuff, give up the old life, give it up and come into the new and be refreshed and receive of the beauty of the Lord and let him just take away all the ashes. Amen. Of our lives. It's so beautiful if we would just receive, amen, and really, really believe and do what we believe. And that's what you were saying so much in the Word. And thanks for letting people know about it's so much information you gave in this message about the diesel and all of the information, when you read the news a lot. And just like Bishop, he's well-versed in things that's going on. He knows a lot because he's into the news much more than I am. But I do read the news that come to my phone. But I shy away from the everyday news because the tragic things just bothers my heart so much. And I begin, and it makes me cry and grieve, And I mean, I sit here and weep like it happened to me. And my heart can only take so much of that. So I kind of shy away from the news because there's so many tragic, horrible things that's going on, and it really gets to my heart, and it should with everybody, but I literally be sitting there weeping, when I hear of all these heinous crimes and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, it really does bother me, and I get so sad, but I pray too. But Bishop, like when he come on the line, he be telling y'all stuff that he heard and all these people died in a stampede and all of that. But it happened. They did get crushed. But the thing is that when I hear it kind of, it makes me so sad, to the point where I'm really grieving. And he was a police officer, so he could see, he saw heinous. He, you know, he had to go and investigate murders and all that stuff, and so he has more experience in that, and he has seen so much. So it bothers him that it happens, but he doesn't go as far as my heart takes me in that, because it's different with him. But he is sorry about it. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, but thank you for sharing. You share about our health. You give us good news about what we, you know, different things we could take to help us be in better health, and all of the good news that we get here on Block Talk Radio. It's such a blessing to be a part of it. And I pray that others will come and be a part, not just get on and not, you know, come and be a part. Be a part of the family. Come and get into the family. You know, it's one thing to call, but to be a part of is really, really good. You know, because when I first started, I just called in. I said, well, let me call in. I was invited, but once I came in, I realized this is the kind of family that I want. This is the kind of church family I need. And then with all of that in the interim, here we are in a place where we have good friends. We have friends. God has given us these. It's not just a connection, but a divine connection, several, many divine connections that we do have. So that is really beautiful, Apostle. I know you worked really hard, and I know you're about ready for that nap. So we won't keep you long.
No, I'm with you, Mother Grant. Mother Grant is on with us today.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, Apostle, for letting us speak, and we will come back.
Minister Jones was on with us today.
And
no, you all right. You okay. You know, don't ever do that. You okay. You were okay. You're saying what the Lord's saying. I'm receiving all the time. But, Minister Jones was on with us today, and he was on yesterday, day before. And Prophetess Sharon was on. But we thank God and praise God, you know, because God is speaking to us and through us. We don't take none of the credit. I tell you the truth, we don't take any of the credit. You know, that's why I always say, Lord, whatever you want to speak, you speak. You speak. I don't have any notes. I don't have any notes. When I go to Logos Bible, there's a lot of notes there, but I hardly use the notes. Very seldom. You know, I just go straight out the Bible, and as the Holy Spirit speaks to my spirit, I just release it. But I know that God is speaking to the church. He's speaking to the world.
Yes,
the world don't hear what God is saying, the world will be caught without socks on their feet. I'm telling you,
God is
speaking to us. And I mean, this thing has been penned down for our examples. I shared that in the word, in the message today.
Yes,
and if we don't
heed,
you know, Pastor, I got a thing last night, and it blew my mind. I always had that feeling. And my wife said, oh, that's conspiracy. I didn't realize that these people had control over the weather. I didn't realize it. And to show you how they did it, the people, and they're so wicked, they show you how they did it, how they control the weather. When a hurricane is coming, they can make the hurricane go to any part they want to go. That's how wicked they are. And it's right there on YouTube to show you how they did it. The man that developed this, the system, the scientist guy, he did it in 1947. The scientist that developed the system, how to control the weather. They can make it hot, 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 or they can make it cold, cold, cold. They did it. This man that did it in 19, he said, look, I did this back in 1947. He says, and then the people tried to say, they changed and say that it was this and it was that. He said, but we did it from in the labs, mm-hmm. in the scientific lab. I said, wow.
Mm-hmm.
God said nothing, seeing how they want to control everything that God did. Because their main thing is that they want to control population. That's their main thing. They want to control population.
Yeah, they do. They want to control everything, like you said. Yeah, they sure do. But mostly the population.
I'm looking at it and listening to it last night, and I'm saying this man said, he said, thousands upon thousands of people are going to die this winter. He said, not only in America. He said, a lot of people going down in America. He said, but in, he said, in Europe, he said, in Ukraine, he said, in Britain, all these different countries, he started calling, he said, all people going to die because they don't have no diesel. They don't have no oil to put in their furnace. And most of those countries don't have, they don't have forced air like we have forced air. We got the natural gas or forced air. Most of them have oil furnaces, Apostle, oil burners, boilers. And if they don't have the oil, what's going to happen? And some of those countries get three times as cold as us.
Right.
So people are going to die.
My God.
And I'm looking at the Lord. Have mercy on us. Have mercy
There's
on the
famine,
world.
Famine,
have
famine,
mercy, Lord.
So much famine.
Yep.
So much famine in the earth in so many different
yep.
ways. There's famine.
Yep.
And it's not just about hunger, but we have that spiritual famine that has caused all
yep.
of these problems. Spiritual famine caused by sin, caused by that horrible word, that horrible thing called where all of this is coming from. It's stemming from that little three-letter word. Sin.
That's right.
Evil.
Right for that sin.
Devil got, yeah, devil is evil. D-E-V-I-L. You see evil in there. And when you look at the word good, you see God. You
yep.
see God
yep.
in
yep.
good,
yep. Yep.
And evil in devil. And it's just, that's what it is.
That's right.
That's what it is.
That's
it's
right.
either or. There's no in between. There's no such thing as being halfway good and make it. No.
Jesus.
You can't be halfway in. You got to be all the way in, you know. So,
all the way in.
All the way in with Jesus Christ. Amen. So Mother Grant is waiting to come in. And so the line is open.
Come on in, Mother Grant.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is my song. He keeps on blessing me over and over again. He keeps on blessing me over and over again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
God, it's a good God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, he
thanking
is.
Him
yes,
for
he
waking
is.
Me up, thanking him for blessing me every day. I thank all my brothers and sisters on Block Talk Radio, on the, everybody on the prayer line, thanking you. And also, Deacon Fresh, I send you out birthday. I send you out your birthday blessings. You got to read it. You got to read your stuff, Deacon Fraser. So you don't get on there and read it. I don't know if he on there, but happy birthday to you. God bless you. I hope you to enjoy many, many more happy and healthy
birthdays. He's
falling
on there. He was calling you, too. He was calling you, too, Mother, on Monday night. He was calling you. He said, I don't know where Mother Grant is. I don't know where she is. But when she is, she come and pray. She's come and read. She said he was missing you for his birthday. He said, I'm missing Mother Grant.
Oh, you mean Saturday night?
No, Monday night.
Monday?
It was Monday night. He was on Monday night for his birthday.
Oh, I didn't know y'all had something Monday night.
Yeah, we had announced that Deacon was going to have the birthday celebration.
Oh.
His mother came on and His mother came on and preached on for his birthday. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, had a lot of people. You had a lot of people on there.
Okay, well, you just calling me, Isaac? I don't know, but I got this new phone, and the new phone is not holding charges. I gotta go. Now to take it back in, and I'm having problem with my car. So, you know, I've been riding with people. So, that's my problem there. The car giving problems, and you know, when Mercedes take money to fix what I don't have. But thank God, you know, my blessing is, you know, my water bill. You know, I had the leak. I have another leak. I had one. And they paid the $600 because it was $1,100 to give me a credit, so I had to pay $600. And a couple of days ago, the other bill is $600, and I got a call last week they called me again, my insurance company, and called, said, we just paid the $600 on your water bill. So I say, thank you. That's why I say he keeps on blessing me over and over again, and I am happy about
yes.
that. So that's clear. You know, that can ease up a lot, because the water company said they only just give you a credit once a year. The $1,100, so out of that I had to pay $600. Then this is another six, because my bathroom leaking now water. I waiting on the people now. They came out and look at it, but they don't inspector came and look, but they don't tell me when they're going to come to fix it. So I have to keep my toilet water underneath turning off, because the water just keeps singing. I tell them the water keeps singing. So that was the other, that's a different leak, but they don't give no credit. But thank God the insurance company come in. They say they just help me, because they see we are in a bond. So they help, and they pay, and they call me and let me know that they pay. So that's thank God for that, and I'm thankful. And I trust you. Got to try find money. I take the car, drop the car off to the shop, and the man tells me, say, miss, it's going to cost you but $2,000. I say, I okay, take the car back home and park it. I say, oh, Lord, I just don't have that. I say, that's like buying a new car. I need a new car. I can't afford it anyway. I can call a person who just come out and look at cars. They come, the mechanic is cheaper if you get somebody to come. I like take it to the shop, but then I put it on the credit card. But I'll just some of the credit cards so you could get cash. So I know somebody, a mechanic, I bring a mechanic to the house. It's probably can be much cheaper than a mechanic shop. So that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Thank God. And my reading is say, be strong and encouraged. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. Psalms 111:5. Seek ye the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you needed. Luke 12:31. The Lord your God is merciful, is a merciful God. He will not leave you. Deuteronomy 4:31. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. Psalms 28:6. The Lord your God is glorious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you. 2 Chronicles 30:9. Thanks be to God for his gift. 2 Corinthians 9:13. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Psalms 104. Thank God he gave us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. And may God add his blessing to his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mother. Right on the money. God is so good.
Yes,
he
is.
Never stopped blessing us. Never stop blessing
us. Never stop.
When he wake up in the morning, I stay right there on my back in the bed, and I start praising him. This morning, I usually praise him out loud, but this morning, he just says, you can praise me quietly. I still hear you. So I was praising him quietly this morning on my back and just thanking him for how wonderful he is to me. And you know, I don't deserve all that he does for me, but he does it anyway. And I was just thanking him. You know, you don't have to have a lot to praise God. All you need is the breath in your body. That's enough. You know, praise him. It's a lot of stuff that I would love to have, but I have more than I need.
I have more than I need right now. I just praise him, you know, and that's what it's all about. You know, I'm looking forward to being with my Lord. I'm looking forward to being with him. But in order to be with him, I got to live a lifestyle that exemplifies who he is. I got to live that lifestyle, you know, not just teaching and preaching the gospel. Because I promise God, it doesn't matter if we had a lot of people on this morning, but it doesn't matter if we got a lot of people or we just got two people, three people. We still going to teach and preach. Because it's the people that's hearing us when we going off. Every day when we get off, Apostle, I send this message out to 155, 60 people. I sent to 160 people. And you got to consider they're sending to people. Who's sending to people? And there's other people that's downloading the message and sending to people. So we just thank God. And people are being blessed. So we can't stop. We can't give up. Like the message said this morning, we are too close. We are too near the end to give up. We got to continue. So we bless the Lord for you all. Thank you, Mother Grant. Just stay faithful. If I was over there in Georgia and Miami, I could fix your toilet because I already know what the problem is. I already know what the problem is. I don't even have to see it. I know exactly what the problem is. All you need in that toilet is a new fluid master and a flapper.
That's what the man tells me I need it. He tells me, he said, if I had one, I'd call the plumber out. But he, anyway, he come and he snake out because he don't do that. He doesn't do that. He said, but if I have one, I'd put it in for you. You know, because I have the plumbing thing. But he don't come out and put in a flap or whatever. Yeah, the senior citizen people come and do that. Yeah.
Less than 5 minutes. You know. I just had a plumber call me just now, just coming not too long ago. And he's out there at somebody's house. He don't know what he's doing. And he asked me the problem, and I tell him exactly how to fix the problem. You know, on the phone.
If my brother was here, because he'd do them things, but he live in New York. Yeah.
Yeah. You hear Deacon Fraser? Come on in, Deacon. Mother Grant is here waiting for you.
All right, Deacon. Happy belated birthday to you. You got to read your reading I sent to you on your birthday.
I saw it on there.
Okay.
I saw it. Yeah.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I missed it. Say you was calling me, but I ain't see where you was calling me.
Yeah, I call your name. Oh, yes, I do. I call you about three or four times. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I don't know what was going on with me, man. But I know, you know, we've been doing a lot of things. I get to even see the president yesterday. You know, we've been going and doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I go out every day, and I go to two senior citizen places. So, you know, they have different things, different time.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And people will come and pick me up. So that was good for me. They come and pick me up. So we get out. I've been going and I ain't telling you a little lie. Then I come home and sit in my chair. I be falling out the chair, falling here with my head down, trying to, all the phone dropping out my hand. I'd be tired because you know what it is when you got to get up. You get up and go every day.
That's right.
And when you're used to it. So I've been going to bed early, and I've been waking up early. So that was good for me, because then I catch and ride with people. I'm up on the go waiting on them. Monday, I'm trying to think. Monday, we had something at the center, I think. They had the Halloween, they had a little party for us, you know, the seniors, they always doing little things for us. That's what was going on with me. Busy. I just come home from morning again. Yeah, but I ain't going no place out now. Nowhere. Just got a lot of things in the house to do. So I take my time. I ain't got nobody to tell me do this and do that. So I just take my time and do things. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 That's right.
So did you have a good time?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, yeah.
You didn't meet your wife?
Well, yeah, don't wait on the Lord. Don't wait on Jesus.
Waiting on the Lord, okay. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall find you a good wife.
Yeah, waiting on the Lord.
Yeah, we want to see that happen, Deacon. We want to see that happen. We want to see you happy.
Yeah.
Lord will send you some good somebody.
Yeah, we know. Waiting on Jesus, waiting on the Lord.
Yeah,
you're getting older now.
So you got to get it together.
I ain't get older yet. No, I ain't there yet. No.
You're getting there. We all getting there. Every boy day you get older.
That's right. No, we ain't there yet.
All right.
Go around.
All right.
Everybody, for air to breathe, see me, see a bless, things are coming.
But what you are? You were 47? You 46, 47?
And 49.
Oh, you 49. Oh, Deacon. Next month you'll be 50.
Yeah.
Next year, I mean. Yeah.
It don't look like it. Yeah.
That don't look like it, eh? All right. It's coming, though.
Yeah. You wait on Jesus. That time come around.
Yeah.
Wait on
Jesus. Okay.
We're on the law. You can't go out there rough for somebody. You be stuck. You be messed up. Not trusting the Lord, not trusting Jesus. That's right.
And I'm glad to get out the house to tell you the God's truth. Because I sit up in here. When you sit up inside the house, you just sit up, get sick. Stiff.
Yeah.
I don't have the arthritis in the leg. Sometimes I take forever to get up, but I just keep going. Rub that leg and keep going.
Jesus take care of you. God take care of your mother.
Yes,
God take care of you. You ain't doing it alone. God doing it. He doing the work in your life. God is doing it. Jesus is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. God take care of you. You got to be with Jesus with you. Take the Lord with you. That's right. Take the Lord with you.
Take him everywhere you go.
Take him. That's right. Take the Lord everywhere you go.
Take that medication and keep going.
And keep on. Yeah, that's right. Keep on. So, trusting the Lord. It will pay off. That's right.
Yeah.
Keep on. Trusting the Lord. Yeah, that's the truth. You got to trust Jesus. You got to trust him because God got your back. He got your back. He got it.
Yeah.
That's right. We got trust the good Lord up there. Good Lord, man, will still take care of you. That's right. You got to trust Jesus. Trust the Lord. You can't be. You didn't do it by yourself. God did it. He did it. God is doing it through one for what's in your life. God is doing it. That's right. And that's the truth. That's what I said. I'm happy. I said I'm glad to see 49. A lot of them out there didn't make it to see 49. Majority didn't see it. They see 49. It could be a lot of them they didn't go. A lot of them they ain't able to be here. They're able to be 49. But I thank God to see a blessing 49 years old. I thank God for that. I could be doing something I ain't had no business. But I chose the law. I chose Jesus. Chose the Lord. That's why I said. That's why I tell you all the time. I said it.
Amen.
No matter what you do, you got to go. Even though when you come to the line, you come. That's one thing I can say that about you being obedient. You don't never make no excuses. Everyone on here come on this church line, they'll make no excuses. When you come doing the work of God, that never excuse. That never excuse. God don't make no excuses.
Uh-uh.
One thing I can say about you, I can say about you and the rest of you, you and Paul. You know, possible living, possible calendar. A lot of, like I said, when y'all come on, be obedient. You be obedient about God, the word of God. And we can't come and preach the word of God. We can't even come and do what we told us to do. We all do is come and complain. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do something else. Oh, I got something I got to go. Yeah, I got to do this, and I got something I got to go. Oh, I ain't going to be able to make it all that. Well, you ain't pleading for apostle. You ain't pleading for me and nobody. You pleading for Jesus. Well, the law, huh? You pleading for Jesus. One thing I can say about you. You come on and read. You come and read the Word of God. That's what I can say about you. The law got God got your back. Your health and strength. You got body. You keep being your limbs. All of that lives in our body. Because you're covered by his blood. Huh? He's covered by the blood. He take care of you. A lot of them don't seem to know. They can live in their body. That's why I said being obedient means sacrifice. A lot of them can't be obedient. A lot of can't come do the work of God. All we do is complain. That's one thing about it. At least you don't complain. If you gonna complain, don't pray if you're gonna complain. But if you're gonna pray, don't complain. If you're gonna pray. But if you're gonna complain, don't pray. Pray if you're not gonna complain. But if you could be complaining, don't pray. If you're gonna complain. See, too much complaints out there. Too much complaints. But for what I can't. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, I got something I got to do and all that. I got something I got to go and all that. I got something to do and all that. You can't give God a praise. Come on here. Come on now. Come on here. We got to give God a praise. We got to give God the praise. So he don't owe us. We owe the law. We give God the praise. God is the one. He don't owe us. We got to give it to Jesus. It was who you got to give it to. You got to thank him for all the things that he's doing in your life. You got to thank him for that. You got to thank him. You got to thank him for that. You got to thank God for that. You got to thank God for everything what he's doing in your life. We all got to thank him for what he done. For what he did with what he bought us from. A lot of that ain't never done nothing wrong. And I say you just a liar and a truth ain't in you. Tell you what you ain't never. I ain't never seen before. Okay. And when a lot of them know you, they don't want to hear about the preach about judgment and sin. We got to preach about the word about judgment and sin. We got to talk about it. That's what's wrong with us. That's what's wrong there. You don't want to hear. A lot of them don't ever preach about judgment and sin. They don't want to preach about it. But they always ask, "Quick, why you talk about judgment? Why you talk about sin? Well, it's in the word. You got to talk about it. It's in the word." A lot of get everything. A lot of them don't want to hear. They want to hear about what. They want to hear about your story. They want to hear about their own. That's what they like to hear. They love to hear you tell. They love to like listen to a lot of lies. They don't want to hear the truth. For the truth shall make you free. If you don't believe, read the book of St. John and read the book of Romans. They'll tell you. It ain't my word. It's God's word. You talk about 2 Chronicles. What we were talking about. We were talking about, and my people to go by name came from their wicked ways. That was Scripture said in the book of 2 Chronicles. A lot of them act like some of us now. Some of us now would have been some of the way we come to this place. A lot of us don't even want, a lot majority don't want to hear the truth. A lot of them won't hear it. A lot of them don't want to talk about it. A lot of them won't come. They don't want to say nothing. They don't want to hear what the next person have to say, but they want to hear what you have to say. That's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to hear the next person. They want to hear somebody else. That's what they like to hear. That's where we all on these. On these fry lines. That's what we do on these lines. on these prayer lines. A lot of them come on the line. Come on, they come on these lines. These prayer lines, they come, they'll come. They'll come and throw up, kick me, throw me off. They want to take over. I don't go line, take over. Nobody, I don't take over. Come on these lines, take over. That's something I won't do. I won't go on with someone's line and go on the line and be try to take over. But I know that how the way you come on, you try to cook me off. But we know it'd be rude. But one thing in my line, one thing about it, I don't cut people off. That's what I don't do. I don't cut people off. I don't cut them off. I don't come on and be out of line with them, be out of order with them. But see, they must see someone think I don't think I'm stupid. But I got news for them. I might be stupid, but I ain't stupid you think I am. I let them know. But I always talk about everybody pays the fool. I talk about everybody pays the fool. That's what I'm talking about. I said it. Who got mad? Yeah, I said it. Don't give me all rowdy up today. I get rowdy, I get talking. I let them know it started with me. I let them know. I don't play the pretty stuff, the cute stuff. I don't play it no more. That's right, Mother Grant. I don't play pretty stuff. That's right. I let them know. When you get mad at me, get mad at you want to. You get mad at God. I bet you didn't get mad at you out in the world. I bet you ain't mad at that. I bet you. When you run at, you say, run at the half an hour, then the whole half an hour, you ain't mad at that. Why you be mad at truth? Why you want to be mad at truth for? Why you getting mad for?
That's some goodies.
But the world is in there.
That is some goodies. That's some stuff.
That's right. Why you want to get mad at the truth?
Man.
But we think we get mad at someone that tell us something. We just leave, just jump off. We leave, you don't want to hear it. But we love to hear somebody else.
My God.
I was talking, yeah, I seen when y'all love stuff. I bet you were mad when you out there. Man, we out there fornicating around. Because in the word, you would run with that person. Run around with that person. That person, he could go over there. He ain't going to run over there. I bet you ain't mad at that. You know, I always talk about abuses all the time. We ain't mad at someone get abusive, to be bullied all the time. So we're bullied. You got some of these pastors. You got some of these pastors be bullied. You got some of these boyfriends can be bullied. You got some of them. You got some in the pastor be bullied. Y'all know they lying. Yeah, where you go. Even if I'm not talking about it in school. You got to have this. You see it in school, too. So I'm always been bullied. If one thing, you go bully your wife, you go bully your boyfriend. That ain't of God. That's not of God. And I see it right now. I see we get in the shape that where we are right now. You get stressed out. I see you get stressed out. I see you get too many. You get too many heart attacks. So many. Your blood pressure gets so high. You worry about a wrong tail man out there. You worry about a man. You worry about a man trying to live, trying to make a man, make him do right. You worry about a woman to do right. You can't even talk to the law. Don't worry about Jesus. And you worry about a dog on tail man. Now, I just be honest with you, me and woman ain't worth it. I'll tell you that right now. It ain't worth it. He ain't worried about nobody. I'll tell you that right now. In this day and time, it ain't worth it. But what really worth it, you worry about Jesus. That's what you be worried about is the word of God. Huh? That's what you be worried about. That's what worth it. Y'all ain't lying. Come on here, somebody. Come on here. Yeah, I'm loud. Yeah, I got a loud mouth. I've been like everything going on. I've been like going on 8 years. It's gonna be 8 years. When they say you like you ain't the only one. Don't worry about that, mother, spirit, mother. Don't worry about it because you ain't the only one. I guess they say that about me too. But I'm going to keep on being loud for Jesus. I'm going to keep on with this being the word, being loud for the Lord. Who doesn't like it? Who don't like us? If they don't like you, they don't like us. They ain't like Jesus. So we got to go on. We got to keep it moving. Moving for the Lord, for the Lord. That's what's wrong now. That's what's wrong with us. Too much junk going on in the world. Too much all this foolishness in the world. Too much foolishness. I say it's foolishness. Brother, we're talking about that young man got 28-year-old man got killed. This young hip hop star. Y'all heard about that young man got killed? That young man, 28 years old. Young man, young hip hop artist. The hip hop. They killed him. They shot the young man, killed him 57 times. Y'all didn't hear that? The young man, 28 years old. And we went around acting a fool. Just keep up foolishness. Just acting a fool. Just acting foolish. Then I said, when it's time about foolishness, I'd rather walk away from foolishness. We ain't got time for no junk. We need to be going on the knees and start praying. We need to be doing, spend more time with prayer. Okay, you need to be doing. That's what you need to be doing. And that's the truth. Why we, just Vance Brown said, why we worried about cabbage over there, you worry about that cabbage over there, and you worry about the cabbage over there. And she ain't lying. What you need to be doing, worry about Jesus. Keep folks' eyes on, look up the hills of Jesus. What we need to be doing, look up to Jesus. Well, with all this ignorance, this food is this junk, what's going on all over the world. That's what we need to be doing. That's what we know need to be doing. Come on here, somebody. Come on here. I always say, you might, I've been laughed at so many times. Yeah, they may laugh at me now. They may keep laughing. And you know, as you were saying Monday night, as you said, the ones that laugh, put me down, go. Treat me bad, you mean, do you like a dog? They treat you like a dog, guess what? The ones they put down, guess what? Y'all guess what? That's the one going to need to pray for them. That one going to need to be, no matter how much you put it, look down on the person, look down on them. You might need their prayer help one day. You might want to pray for them. I might want to pray for you one day. The one they laughing at, make fun behind my back, laughing. That's what a lot of times, I'll be honest with you. I don't go none of them, some of these lines. I don't go some of these lines. I don't go none of them like I used to. I thank God I come to this one. Because you ain't going to get it when you come to him. Same with going on the line. Some I go to on my own, go my own line. It's the same way. One thing about it, I don't try to run on nobody. I don't try to beat nobody. I don't try to love nobody. I wouldn't do that to nobody. Y'all know me better than that. Y'all been knowing me too long. You been knowing me ever since. I won't try to assault nobody. Not that I know. But why you won't go assault somebody else? If they don't assault you, why would you go assault them? But we gotta put the foot down. We can't let nobody assault us. Long as one thing I can always say, I can say about a woman God him, by Mother Grant him, she's faithful. I can say this about her. She's faithful. I can say that because she's being obedient, and then she's been kindness. And she never made no excuse. That same way about you, Apostle. Run you the same way. I like that about you. This is what God did in your life. This is what God is doing. But we were told to go do the work. You're doing the work for Jesus. You ain't doing it for apostle. You ain't doing it for man. You doing it for Jesus. Because that's your calling. You got work to do. That's either one of us got assignment what to do. See what this man of God, him, apostle, doing? Why we say this night is church line, this night is line. So with my mother, that's not my comfort line. That's God's line. Everything belongs to God. That's not his line. That's God's line. That's God's church line. Everything belongs to him. Yeah, use the man of God. Yeah, use him. Use anyone. Use the ministers who come and minister. And we think just because we think coming in on being the house of God, we think, here's my church. That's my people and all that. That's my car and all that. My truck. You can have a Pinto. You have a Pinto car. You have an old Mercedes-Benz car. You have old Cadillac out there. Where else car? You have old limo out there, a limo. It still ain't your. That's God. You have $1 million suit. Few shoes, gym shoes too, and these Seth Adams shoes. Men's dress and all of those junk. God ain't concerned about you looking at your heart. That's what you're looking at. I said that 1 million times. I said that 2 times. God ain't look. He ain't look about what you have. He look at your heart. No, I'm not. I'm not worried about who it looks up to. I ain't trying to be that person. Who care what they are. I'm not worried about what person. I don't care. He could be Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, and Robin. I don't care. He'd be Spider-Man. That don't make you less than God. Sure it don't. I don't care. You could be Iceman. It still ain't about you. Sure enough. I don't care what you are. Yeah, I said it.
We thank God for everyone that came on today and heard the word. Thank you, the Lord, for those that respond today.
Amen.
Tomorrow we will have a great word coming tomorrow from the bishop and the apostles. Come on and support them. God is using everybody to speak to the world.
Amen.
God is sending out little children. I've seen on YouTube so many little boys and girls are filled with the Holy Ghost and preaching with fire. The grown-ups decide that they don't want to preach with fire. They want to preach prosperity and name it and claim it.
Yeah.
But I always say, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? You know, try to gravitate to the thing that pleases God. Little is better. Jesus says, better for a man to go to heaven missing one hand than go to hell with both hands. You know, so live with what God give you and be pleased and happy and, just give God glory. I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for Brother Deacon. Thank you for giving him one more year. He's 49 years old now. And, Lord, we pray that you give him more years. And, Lord, we thank you for those that came on, those that were able to respond, and those that didn't respond. We thank you for them, too. We thank you for allowing them to hear this word. Lord, we ask that you let this word germinate in all of our hearts, that we will not just be hearers of this word, but we will become doers of the word. And, Father, as you bless us to see another day, Lord, we'll glorify you. So we look forward to you taking us from this day into a new day. Now, as we leave this line, but never your presence, O God, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them. You loved them, but God loved them even more. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that you got to let the attributes of Jesus Christ be seen in your daily walk, in your office, in your home, in the supermarket, at the grocery store, at the doctor's office, wherever you are, at the beach. Let them see that you're carrying that light.
the heavenly light is in your heart. How are they going to see that? When you show love, when you show compassion, when you have mercy, when you forgive people, when you let go and let God. I thank God for each and every one of you. A bishop always, he usually do the closing prayer, but today I just felt like to just, as I was flowing, to just do it. So have a blessed day. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. And stay safe. If you got to go, I always tell you all, pay attention to your surroundings. Don't go there like you're a chicken that don't have a head. Pay attention to your surroundings. We're living in dangerous times. The Bible calls it perilous times. Pay attention. People are getting stabbed at the gas station, at the grocery store, at the hospital room. I mean, there's a lot of evil out there, so you got to pay attention. Somebody come behind you sudden, look around. Move away from them. Make sure that they don't have the space to stab you. Pay attention, okay? The life you save may be your life. If you got to go walking, and you got your little, you got your cell phone, you got your heads, you got your, make sure you not, you don't got mega bass playing that you can't hear who's coming up behind you. If you got the plug-in headset, only plug in one so you can hear with the other ear. Somebody come up behind you in the park walking, you just taking an easy stroll, they take your life, rob you and kill you. Please, pay attention, okay? Pay attention. I don't want to travel for funerals. I only want to travel to celebrate. I don't want to travel for funerals. Pay attention. I love you guys, but God loves you more. I see you all tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Lord say the same and he keep us on this side of the grave. Bye-bye. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you for preaching. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
God bless you.